He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is our Lunch with Gleeso catch-up podcast, with conversations you may have missed earlier and the parts we just didn't have time to play today.
1980 saw this band, The Church, come out of nowhere. They were a band that had their own sound, that had a loyal following, and we're talking to Steve Kilby right now. Steve, how you going, mate?
I'm good, thanks, yeah.
So, I mean, speaking of that time, that very creative time in Australian music, there was support from, you know, not only Countdown, but Night Moves and all these other shows that really spruiked Australian talent. Where did you fit into the mould? Where did you kind of cut your teeth coming into that early 80s period?
Well, we were in part of the exploding pub scene in Sydney, I guess, although we never really were fitting in anywhere. Before we sort of got on Countdown, we were sort of opening for My Sex and Cold Chisel and, you know, all the Midnight Oil and Men at Work. We were sort of opening for all of them. Yeah. And, like, there was a gig on every night. There was, like, a huge gig on every night in every pub. You know, there was just, everybody was into pub rock and going out to see bands. It was like really, for that, it was never like that again.
Mm. Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you talk about all those bands, and I remember going overseas and people would say about the Australian sound, and I'd be like, what, that NXS-y, AC/DC-y, Midnight Oily? It's like there really kind of was no sound, but more an ethos, wasn't there, from what you did? You got into those pubs and got down and dirty.
Exactly. There was no sound, but definitely a scene. And the audience were pretty open for all the stuff. You know, there was as much diversity in Australia as anywhere else. You know. And, you know, there was room for what we were doing and, you know, the Angels and, there were so many Ice House, there were so many bands sort of happening in that period. And, you know, yeah, every night it was a full house for somebody all over in every pub in Sydney.
And how did you find breaking out of Sydney? Because you're pretty well, you garnered international kind of interest pretty well straight away, didn't you, with songs and of Skins and Heart?
Yeah, we had a hit in Sweden and we had a hit in Canada. And then the Blurred Crusade was seen as part of the neo-psychedelic movement in England that was happening in 1982. There was a sort of a psychedelic thing happening there, and we were sort of seen as a sort of a godfathers. and then we started touring America in 84, and we sort of had that college radio thing going for us. So, you know, our fortunes were fluctuating all over the place. Sometimes we were just sort of an indie alternative band, and other times we sort of became part of the mainstream.
And I imagine that was, you know, compared to now, where you can kind of parlay all that stuff together, you know, through Facebook and keeping people instantly and constantly updated, it was much harder to kind of get all your eggs in one basket, I would imagine, back then.
Yeah, that's true. But the good thing about it was that we were mysterious. And like everybody, like all the bands from Australia, they had a sort of a mystery about them when you go overseas. Nobody could find out all about you. Nobody knew all about you or what. And sort of in those days, a lot of people were kind of daydreaming about Australia in England and America. I know this isn't really what you asked. I've gone off on a tangent.
No, keep going. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
no, I don't know. You know, I've never really been very good at sort of booking tours and knowing where to go. I'm just a rock and roll soldier, and someone says, go to Poland, I'll be in Poland. You know what I mean? I'll be there with my bass guitar ready to play. Or if someone says, go to Alabama or go to, you know, Perth, I just sort of go along. Mine's not to question why. Mine's just to, you know, do and die.
Rock or die. And obviously that, Steve, is why you're still kicking around the traps, mate, because it's one of those things, that the bohemian nomadic lifestyle, isn't it? You just have to buy into it, and when you get called, you go.
you go. And like we still do like 100 gigs in America every year. And we have done now for about the last 4 or 5 years. We go to America and just play and play and play. I kind of like it. I'm still hooked, I guess.
It's the 30th anniversary of Starfish, which had that song Under the Milky Way on it. 1988 it came out, and was a re-genesis of the success that the boys had already experienced overseas. Steve, I hear you're heading out on a celebration of 30 years for that particular album.
Yes, we are, and we're going all around America and a little bit of England doing Starfish in its entirety. So yeah, that's what we're doing.
To revisit this stuff, does it take you back? Do you get the memories? Oh yeah, we were having a fight when we were recording this one.
Oh, we were always having a fight when we were recording. that's not anything to remember. There's always a fight. You know that. It's never. You join bands looking for brotherhood, and all you end up is with 3 angry customers. You know what I mean?
Like 3 ex-wives.
And you've got two choices with a band. Is to shut up and let them walk all over you, or be a tyrant and then everybody hate you, so, like you're the school teacher. No, I'm just, I don't know. I'm kind of, we do a lot of the songs in our set a lot anyway. I'm sort of, it's just, no, there's no nostalgia for this one really.
I haven't read your book, but something quite peculiar, and it came out in 2014. What's it like when you're looking back when you are writing a book in that case then?
When I wrote about my childhood, I was in a really warm glow and I was really enjoying that. And I was going back to, I really was. And then when I wrote about being on the bad stuff for 10 years, when I was tired and emotional, I was, it took me down. So when you write a book, you do sort of, you go back and really think about stuff. And it's really funny because you have, sometimes you don't know if you have memories or if the memories have really distorted and it's how you sort of dreamed it was or how it really was, or if you sort of, you've put everything through rose-coloured glasses. But yeah, it's quite a thing writing a book about your life.
I was thinking of having a go at it myself. One day,
really?
But
when the kids are older.
My memory's not that good and my kids aren't old enough yet.
Right, okay.
To be this far on, because obviously 38 years on from the start of the band and still be... Yeah. Touring around the world
I was 1 year old when we formed.
So coming up to your 40th birthday, fantastic.
Yeah. No, I'm very lucky and very thankful. Indeed, I am.
Steve, I just want to know what's cooking in the pot apart from going and celebrating the massive milestone of 30 years of Starfish. What else you got on the go?
Well, I do a bit of painting. When the money ran out a long time ago, I thought I'd better do something else. Obviously, I'm no good for an office job. And so I taught myself to paint. So I do a bit of painting and I sort of do a lot of commissions. They all go, yeah, I'll do that. And now they're all backed up and there's about 10 angry people going, where's my painting? So, it's very relaxing though. Unlike music, painting is very relaxing.
Did you do any of the artwork, album cover artwork or anything over the years?
I have. I did Uninvited Like the Clouds. And then the church did 2 acoustic albums on Liberation. El Momento Descuidado and El Momento Segundo. That's right. Spanish, kids.
Yeah.
And I did the covers for those too, yeah.
Now, if people want to see this work or maybe apply for their own commission, how do they find out more details, Steve?
Thetimebeing.com.
Thank you so much for being a part of the festivities for Oztober.
Oztober, no worries.
Rock on. Cheers. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, bye, Dave.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.